9:33 Central African Time, and we do call it the Monday Morning Mix. And for this mix, we alhamdulillah do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program, and we are going to continue with our discussion. In the last two programs, we spoke about sickness. We started off with our discussion on how to decipher whether it's a punishment or a rahmah, and also some of the virtues of sickness. And last week, Mufti Saab also spoke about the importance of visiting the sick person. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Mufti Saab, I heard you cough in the background. We hope you are not sick this morning, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, all praise be to Allah Ta'ala. Mashallah. All circumstances at our age now, Maulana, you could expect all these type of things to happen.
MashaAllah. Mufti Saab, last week you spoke about you know, the importance of patience and also visiting the sick and the virtues. You even mentioned that even if you get a headache, even for that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala elevates a person's status and rewards him, MashaAllah.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Maulana. There's tremendous amount of rewards for sickness, for pain, for suffering, for misery, for heartache, for a thorn break, for a sad moment, for some kind of fear. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies are so great and His treasures are so unlimited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to give for every little thing that happens to a believer.
MashaAllah.
So indeed, you know,
Mufti Saab, you know, before I forget, and if I could ask this question, is the last week you spoke about the importance of visiting the sick, but nowadays we've got technology. So what if a person calls the sick person or WhatsApp him? Does he still get the same reward, Mufti Saab?
Yeah, actually, look, the real promised reward is for the actual visit, physical visit to the person, right?
Oh, okay.
Right? But they say that a telephone call or a letter or a message is nisful mulaqat.
Achcha.
It's half a meeting.
Hmm.
So it's halfway there. So perhaps there will be a degree of reward, no doubt. There won't be that. There will be no reward at all, but perhaps not equivalent to actually going to see the sick person, because then you also have the opportunity to read some verses of Quran and blow on the sick person, and you know, Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also place his Mubarak hand on the forehead of a sick person and make dua, La ba'asa tuhurun insha'Allah. So those type of things won't be possible without the actual meeting and being in the presence of the person.
Mm.
But sometimes the circumstances are such that you shouldn't be in the presence of the person, or it's not appropriate to be there.
Mm.
For example, they're restricting the number of people because the patient is traumatized or in a state of shock or in a state of distress and requires peace, does not need require or does not you know, need visitors to be present at that time, that could upset the person or could make the person emotional, and that could retard the healing process and so on.
Mm.
So at that time, as much as you would love to go and meet the person, but there by not visiting the person, you're getting rewards.
MashaAllah. Subhanallah.
Because your going there is actually not going to be helpful for the sick person. I know of instances where, say, for example, a tragedy took place, like an accident or something like that, right?
Mm.
And a person lost his family or some close and dear ones in the accident. Now, if somebody goes there, that's going to remind him of all this year again, or he's reminded because a certain person comes there, then the doctors will also say, you know, please don't let anybody go there who will make him emotional. Because he can't be emotional at this point in time. His heart is weak. It will affect his heart, and he could get a heart attack over and above the injuries.
Mm.
So at that time like that, then it is better not to go. And then you could maybe just send a short message or make a call and just speak to the person without going there in the presence of the person. So in that case, inshallah, with your intention being to go and visit the person, but circumstances did not allow you, then inshallah, you will get the reward as well. The treasure of Allah Ta'ala is unlimited.
MashaAllah. We may continue, Muqtasab.
Yeah, so inshallah, we continue the discussion, Maulana. First, we did speak a little bit about the power of a sick person's dua. That how Allah accepts the dua of a sick person like the malaika's duas are accepted. And therefore, one great benefit of visiting the sick people is to take their duas. But nevertheless, we spoke about the fact that it is a great sunnah for Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to visit the sick, and we also spoke about how he even visited a non-Muslim young man and who accepted Islam on his hand, and then he passed away, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was extremely pleased and happy about that. So visiting the sick overall is a very rewarding thing, but one thing is very, very important, and that is that we should abide by the etiquette of visiting the sick person. That is, the visit should be very, very short. It should not be a long, drawn-out affair that a person is standing there and talking and hanging around and, wanting to make conversation and all of that. No, this is against the sunnah. In fact, it is narrated that part of the sunnah when you visit a sick person is that you should shorten your visit and you should make the least amount of noise when you are by the side of the sick person. This is a sunnah.
Mufti Sahab, some people feel that, I'm traveling 2.5 hours to go meet this person. I must spend at least half an hour.
No, that is not appropriate. Unless the sick person himself or herself asks and requests a certain person to stay and to sit and to be present there, then it is a different thing. Like if a sick person is insisting, for example, no, I want you to sit here, please. You know what, your presence here is comforting to me. I want to talk to you about certain matters that are concerned, I'm concerned about, etc. So then in that case, it would be absolutely in order for a person to stay behind. Or otherwise, it is absolutely immediate family. Or a bosom friend that, everybody knows that he's around this person all the time. Or immediate family, wife and children, siblings, parents, and so on. So for them, there is no problem. Obviously, they should be there, because if they are not there, then who will be there for the patient?
Oh, geez.
But we're talking about, friends, neighbors, associates, etc. As far as they are concerned, the sunnah for them is to shorten the visit and to make the least amount of noise at the side of the sick person. Right? And also, in one narration it has been mentioned, the best visit to a sick person is when the visitor gets up and goes away without delay. That means he doesn't stay there for long. That's the best visit and iyadat of a sick person. So we see from the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that one should not stand around a sick person for too long, because the person might be inconvenienced. Now it is time for him, for example, to go to the washroom, and his family can help him and take him. It is time for him to take some food. It's time for him to take some medication. He needs to discuss something very important with his family. Now people are standing around there. How will he get to do all of these things? And visiting hours are limited. So these things cause a great deal of inconvenience to the sick person. And mashallah, our community, Allah accept, there are people who are very, very eager to visit the sick person.
Alhamdulillah.
But then they'll go and crowd around the sick person. And the amount of noise they make in the hospitals, at the bed of the sick person. There are other people in the ward, they also get disturbed by this kind of noise and so on. But sometimes our people are not considerate towards these things. So it is very important that we learn the adab of visiting the sick person. And the sunnah of visiting the sick person is to spend short amount of time. shortest amount of time. Just Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, how are you? We came to visit you. We came to see if you need any help, any assistance. We just came to give you some encouragement and some support. We will read one short dua for you. Is there anything we can do for you? Please, you know, we are here at all times. Just see and it will get done. And don't worry, inshallah, soon you will be better. Allah Ta'ala bring you back home safe and well. And, you know, words of encouragement, short, sweet, to the point. And make dua for us, because your dua are accepted. We also will make dua for you. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. God.
Subhanallah. Such a beautiful thing.
Short, 1 minute, Marana, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. That's all that is required. So I think it's important that these things should be taken these things should be taken into consideration when visiting a sick person. That we do not do what generally is done, where there is a great deal of inconvenience and the sick person actually becomes more sick.
Mm.
Because people are not cared or concerned about his well-being, and they're only, you know, sticking around and hanging around there when he's getting irritated and so on. So we should be very careful about that kind of behavior.
Mm.
Now, also another important etiquette, that was the one etiquette. The other etiquette of visiting a sick person is that only speak good things, only speak positive things. This is also a sunnah. This is also from the ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned that say good things there, because the malaika are around a sick person and they say ameen to whatever you will say. Now if you give him, you know, instead of telling him good things and giving him encouragement that no, inshallah, you know, you're looking better, you'll be well soon, soon you'll be up and about again. If people start saying negative things, that sure, you're really looking very bad, man. I never saw you so sick like this, man. Sure, you know, the doctors are very worried about you. And sometimes there have been cases where, Allah knows best, but I've heard the people say, the doctor said, oh, it doesn't look like he'll make it.
Allah.
And there are cases where the doctors will tell you to your face that, look, as far as our assessment goes, we don't think you're going to be around for long.
Ajit.
And the amazing thing, one or two people who are in a situation like this, personally related to me, their situation, and alhamdulillah, they lived for 8 to 10 years. After that, the poor doctor passed away in about a month.
Ya lal-asaf.
Life and death is in Allah Ta'ala's hands. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam encouraged, look at the refined teachings of Deen and Shariat. Beautifully refined teachings. Every step, every statement, every word, every deed is designed to bring happiness and comfort and assurance to the people around you, and not to make them positive and not to make them despondent. This is the beauty of this deen. So here we find Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the malaika will say ameen. So be careful not to say anything negative in the presence of a sick person. Only say what is good. And even to the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when you visit a sick person, give that person a reassurance, speak to him in a reassuring way. Right. Saying that will not change the taqdeer, but it will bring happiness to your brother. Subhanallah, look at the beauty of this teaching of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That by speaking positively to him, it's not going to change anything. If he's really sick, he's sick. And there's nobody can do anything about it. It's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by giving him some reassuring words and comforting him and so on, what you're actually doing is you're actually lifting up the person's mood. And even if he's got a few days left in this world to live, let those be happy days. Why should he live? Why should you already kill the man before he died?
Ajit.
And why should you, let him, you know, be half dead before he's actually dead by giving him this kind of news and telling him negative things? he will go into a depression. He will go into a shock. He will withdraw.
Indeed.
So always give positive. Tell the person, no, alhamdulillah, you're looking better. Look, the results are looking not so bad, alhamdulillah. You know, inshallah, things will improve. You'll recover. It's all in Allah's hand. Don't worry, inshallah, the treatment, all that is taking place. So in that manner, you're actually giving him reassurance and comfort. And psychologically, he starts feeling good. And a lot of the cure has got to do with psychological healing.
Ajib.
It's a kind of therapy by itself.
Hmm.
When a person feels positive, the body also gets those positive vibes.
Hmm.
And the body responds accordingly. And what is the reading and things that we do? It is actually a kind of a spiritual, you know, infusion of positive energy into the body of that person. And that is what the cells respond to. I read an article not long ago, Maulana. I'm not sure where it was. It obviously must have come on the social media or email or internet or something, but it was about an experiment that a doctor had done at one of the hospitals, in one of the famous hospitals, where certain patients were asked to chant the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ajib.
And they were making the zikr of Allah, 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 even non-Muslims, right?
Hmm.
And a certain group were kept one side, and they were not asked to do any reading or chanting, as they call it.
Hmm.
They say the result was astounding. Those people who were so-called chanting, they found that their recovery was more than 50% higher than those people who did not chant.
Allahu Akbar.
I can't exactly remember the source of the article, but I'm sure many may have seen it somewhere along the line.
Hmm.
And it was really astounding that just the zikr of Allah, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had such a positive effect on the healing of the patients.
MashaAllah.
And why should it not be? We have faith, we have yakin that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful that indeed it can be a means of complete cure and shifa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to emphasize so much the reading of certain verses of the Quran and you know, Suratul Shifa, Suratul Fatiha, which is also called Suratul Shifa, etc. And certain appropriate du'as that should be read. By reading these du'as, a person will feel a tremendous difference in the health. Because the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a kind of a spiritual therapy.
Hmm.
It's a spiritual energy that is infused into the body, and the cells respond to that positive energy that comes from the words of the Holy Quran and the words of the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, alhamdulillah, these are those important things to bear in mind when we visit the sick person. And the third thing that I would like to add to that, when we are visiting the sick person, is to learn some of the simple shifa du'as.
Hmm.
And to read those du'as for the sick person. Right? short du'as. For example, one du'a where Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the reading of this du'a 7 times. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever visits a sick person whose death has not been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he reads this du'a 7 times, Allah ta'ala will cure that person of his sickness. Subhanallah. Just 7 times, a short du'a, and this person will be recovered, and he will recover from his sickness. As'alullah al-azim, Rabb al-arsh al-azim, ayyashfiyak. Short du'a. As'alullah al-azim, Rabb al-arsh al-azim, ayyashfiyak. I ask Allah the Almighty, the owner of the majestic throne, that he should cure you.
Hmm.
A simple du'a like this. How long does it take to read it 7 times? Maybe a few seconds.
Okay.
So to learn, so these are the three things to bear in mind when visiting the sick person. One is to make it a very short, brief visit. Number two, to give the person a lot of encouragement and reassuring words. Right. And number three, to read the appropriate du'as. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit the sick people and he would place his Mubarak hand on the affected part of the sick person's body, and he would also read certain du'as. La ba'sa tahurun insha'Allah, Allahumma shfihi, Allahumma aafihi, and اذهب الباس رب الناس اشفي انت الشافي لا شفاء الا شفاء وشفاء لا يغادر سقما. And so on, these are various du'as. I'm not going to go into too much of detail on that itself, but the point is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, let's say, conclude his visit by a du'a for the sick person, and that is very, very beneficial for the sick person. It will help in the healing. And it is beneficial for the one who reads the du'as as well.
Mufisa, what about the fact, you know, some people, they give you a lot of opinions. For example, hey, why are you doing chemotherapy? Allah, but you're going to destroy yourself. You should have rather go alternate treatment when the person has already started. Is this a appropriate suggestion to make when visiting somebody that's ill or bedridden? I told you don't go to this doctor or something like that.
Yes, Mawlana, very, very good point, very important point, and definitely this is a problem that, we see this problem from time to time, where people are very insensitive, they say things like this, which is not, it's not correct. It's a form of treatment this person has chosen to adopt. Now, he made mashwara, maybe he made istikhara, maybe he consulted someone, and he was told that, listen, this is the better form of treatment for you. So he adopted that. Now to start criticizing him and to make the person feel despondent and to make him feel guilty and to make him feel bad, no, this is not right. A sick person needs sympathy, Maulana. Never mind now whatever choice he did, but you can't, like, you know, now criticize his decision and say words that are harsh and we could say discouraging to him. No, that shouldn't be so. He chose that particular method of treatment, so now good luck, and Allah Ta'ala make it easy and give him shifa in whatever mode of treatment he chose. No doubt there's different views now. Obviously there are people who prescribe to the alternate forms of healing. And they say that, you know what, this can be cured. Don't go for these high-tech treatments that are very heavy on the body and that can be very painful and very detrimental because it destroys the good with the bad. But then, on the other hand, over the years, the experience has shown in many instances that this type of treatment has helped certain people, and they are in remission now and they are recovering. So it's a medical issue, and it's better for us not to start pronouncing on medical issues without the necessary knowledge and background, you know. So it's best to stay away from those kind of comments. Yes, before the person goes for treatment, if you speak to him and you're trying to convince him and you say, you know what, do this. But once the person has started a certain type of treatment, then we should not have any comment to make after that.
Such an important point. MashaAllah. This also brings us to the end of today's program. We mentioned keep it short and read the relevant du'as, and also we mentioned that you shouldn't give unsolicited advice to people who has, sometimes a person ends up more sick because there's so many remedies, each one comes with his own remedy. You see, when my father was sick, then he did this and it worked. The other one come from his uncle, and other haga. And the person shame, the poor person is so confused because you've got like 50 remedies already.
Absolutely, Maulana. I liked what you said, that it's unsolicited medical advice. Even if it's for free, but you know what? It's unsolicited, leave it, keep it out. Yes, if you want, you can speak to the family and suggest it to them.
Jeez.
You know, where you are to burden the sick man with all these details, the poor man's mind is not even functioning properly. He's in such a state of anxiety and worry and distress and probably groggy also after some, you know, what they call this anesthetic or painkillers or those kind of, you know, intravenous stuff that is given to him. And now you're loading up with whole lot of medical terms and advices and prescriptions. What the poor man is going to even understand? So if you want, you can talk to his family, you can talk to his doctors on the side and say, listen, we think that this will be more beneficial, more helpful. But to the sick person, it doesn't make sense to load him up with all that information. And as you say now, 50 people are coming with 50 different prescriptions. And the poor man is just listening and he's bewildered. And you put him into a state of greater anxiety because now he's doubtful whether the right treatment was being... No, he has to be in a positive state of mind. And let him stay in that positive state of mind by reassuring words.
MashaAllah, such pertinent advices. Muftisab, Jazakallah khairan for your time, much appreciated. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.